Ramsey TV.
I've got to speak very intimately with you this morning because it's 5:30. No, actually 5:25 Monday morning. And I enjoy coming out here in the morning speaking with you. In my usual estimation, the day is shot when the sun comes up. I love the darkness. I love getting the jump on the rest of the human race. Got up at 3 o'clock this morning. That is early even for me. I usually get up around 4:30. But anyway, welcome to another week of Martin Zender Television, MZTV. Today, we're going to look at some quotes from E.H. Clayton. E.H. Clayton was a writer for Unsearchable Riches magazine. That was a magazine started in 1909 by A. Enoch and Vladimir Gelesnov. Published by the Concordant Publishing Concern. I love this magazine. It's still being published. You can get all the back issues. You can read them online at concordant.org. Probably 12, 13, 14, 15 different writers at Unsearchable Riches. Main writer there, A.E. Nock, the man who translated the Concordant version and the Concordant version of the Old Testament, the CLNT, New Testament, CVOT, Old Testament. You can find these online at concordant.org. Now, Emma Williams, our fellow believer, who lives in the UK, somehow, this is amazing to me, I was astounded at this, and a little bit jealous, somehow came across the personal diary of E.H. Clayton. I'm not even sure what E.H. stands for. I like to think it stands for Edward Herbert, but I could be completely wrong. It could stand for Encephalus Herodias, I don't know, doesn't matter, but listen to these quotes. I'm going to give you the quote, and I'm going to comment on the quote. I love borrowing, gleaning from the wisdom of others. And here we go. Again, thanks to Emma Williams, the UK, for providing these quotes to me. She writes, below are some Clayton thoughts from his diary. I need to type them up. How did you get this diary? I'm a little jealous about it. Quote, grace fashions my fate. Not only do I like the alliteration there, grace fashions my fate, but this is so outside the common Christian teaching that your works fashion your fate, or your dedication to God, your degree of worship, what have you. No, it's grace that fashions your fate. And the word fashions, the way, I just like that. It's an ongoing thing. And it reminds me of the potter and the clay of Romans 9. Our fate is fashioned. And it speaks of artistic workings. It speaks of the potter's hand forming something beautiful. And grace, as we know, is favor granted to those who deserve the opposite. Quote, I need no righteousness of my own, for he has supplied all I require. Ooh, this is so hard for people to believe. I need no righteousness of my own. To say that, you feel like if I don't show up before the throne of God without my own righteousness, I'm going to be naked. You know, if you don't come to school without your box of pencils, how do you feel? You feel naked. You feel like you failed. You feel like everybody else has theirs. I don't have mine. But we don't need our own righteousness. Just go like this and dispense with it. Because, I quote again, he has supplied all I require. Isn't that nice? Talk about a box of pencils. Grace is a flower which this world's wisdom can never nourish. Wow. I'm reminded of Paul in Galatians. By the way, this is all spontaneous. This is a stream of consciousness on my part. I think of Paul who says to the Galatians, having begun in spirit, are you now being perfected in flesh? This is the desire of the humanist. Like, okay, God started this. Thank you, God, but we'll take it from here. Kind of like the old free will argument, too, that says, well, God set everything in motion. But then he goes away, and then we can carry on. He started it, but we continue it. And then if he sees that we're going off course, he'll make a correction. No. That is not how it works. Because grace is a flower which this world's wisdom can never nourish. Nothing that the world calls wisdom can add anything to grace. We started in grace, we continue in grace, and we finish in grace. God's plans required that humans should be measurably ignorant of the future. This is such a great truth. I've taught on this. I did a public teaching in New York on this topic. I think it was called The Bubble of Ignorance. I'll find it. I'll link you to it down here. This is a problem people have when they hear that God has written the entire script ahead of time. And people say, well, I feel like a robot. I feel like a robot. You're telling me God has written everything ahead of time? No, I'm not telling you that. Isaiah 46:10 is telling you that. God tells the end from the beginning. Then, Martin, why don't we just become fatalists? I've been told that this message is fatalism, that God has everything written ahead of time. No, the message is not fatalism. What is fatalism is people's unhealthy, irrational response to the truth that God tells the end from the beginning, and he wrote the script ahead of time. We could become fatalistic if we knew what the next moment would hold. Even then it would be absurd, really. But this bubble of ignorance, that's what I call it. Clayton calls it God's requirement that humans should be measurably ignorant. It's pretty close. Of the future. It's a beautiful gift to not know what's going to happen in the moment. Now, we look into the future and we understand where God's taking all of this. If we didn't know that, we'd be in trouble. When you're reading a novel, you don't want to read the end first. But there's enough drama in this life, I want to know how it's going to end. Give me the end so that I can endure the middle. The middle is the worst part of anything, right? A play, a movie. I've often told you there are three parts to any good story, whether it's a novel, a film, or a play. The beginning, middle, and end. At the beginning, you introduce your characters. In the middle, you get your characters up a tree and send dogs barking at them. And at the end, the resolution, you get your characters down from the tree. And they're richer for the experience of having been in a tree and being barked at by rabid dogs. It's a beautiful thing. So our ignorance of the near future, that's why I would say this is vital, because that's what exercises us. See, I know that everything that happens is of God. I know that my every move has been pre-programmed by God. And people choke on that. For one thing, it damages their pride. But it's a beautiful thing because it's the only way God can assure that the end will be as he has designed and designated it. And the beautiful thing is this bubble of ignorance allows us to respond organically, naturally to the things that happen to us minute by minute. I love the bubble of ignorance. It's one of my favorite things. Who wants to know the day they're destined to die? Do you want to know? Well, we're not going to die because we're going to be snatched away on on our feet. Here we go. God hurts, but does not harm. What a great quote. Thank you, E.H. Clayton. God hurts. Oh, yeah, he does. But he doesn't harm, because every hurt is purposeful. Every hurt is bringing us to maturity. Every hurt is preparing us for our future celestial role. So there's never any harm in it. That's a good thing to tell yourself, like every when you bang your head on a cupboard door or stub your toe. God hurts, but it doesn't harm. This goes along with all things are operating for the good of those who are loving God, called according to his purpose. Yes, such a truth. I love the truth. Okay, is the sun coming up back here yet? No, too early still. Too early. Thanksgiving signifies that we have peace with God. Ooh, I like this. Thanksgiving is the fruit of our understanding that we have peace with God. This truth comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that God is conciliated to the world, that is, he is at peace with it, and he is especially at peace with us because he has declared us righteous through the righteousness of his Son. Our identity is wrapped up in the identity of Christ. You might think, well, that's bad news when it comes to the death, the crucifixion, and the entombment of Christ. Yeah, but you got to turn that coin over. It also includes the resurrection of Christ and the leaving of the old humanity in the tomb. Now we're a new creation. And we can enjoy that every minute. And the only thing God really wants from us, you know, people ask all the time, what does God require of me? This is it, Thanksgiving. True Thanksgiving. And this Thanksgiving signifies that we have peace. This peace is not theoretical. It's a fact. To so many people, not in our group, but in the Christian world, this peace is theoretical. They talk about it because it's fashionable. There's a giant bug bugging me. That's why they call them bugs, because they bug you. The verb came first, then the noun. Get out of here. When you really know that God is at peace with you, it produces thanksgiving. It doesn't produce works, because God is already at peace with you. He already did the most for you while you were at your worst. While we are still sinners, Jesus Christ died for our sakes. He did his best for you at your worst. So what are you going to do now to impress him? Think about it. How can you do anything to impress him when he can't do anything more for you than he's already done? And he did that while you were at your worst. Mind-blowing truth. But what it does, it sets you at ease and it makes you thankful. God loves Thanksgiving. Oh, he loves it. Religious men who know not Christ are ever ready to pay for his betrayal. Oh, I could do an entire show on this. Maybe I should save it. What? This is good. Religious men, that is every single Christian, who know not Christ, which is every single Christian. No, Christians don't know Christ. They know the pop icon Jesus. They know the Jesus who condemns people, who challenges people, whose work on the cross failed. The one who has the beautiful hair, the blue eyes, the tight, handsome Charlton Heston style beard. Ah, yes, that's the pop icon Jesus. They know him because they invented him, but they don't know Christ. Religious men who know not Christ are ever ready to pay for his betrayal. How can they do that? Because Christ was betrayed 2,000 years ago. How can religious people today betray Christ? They do it when they reject your message. We are ambassadors of God, 2 Corinthians 5, and therefore we are ambassadors of Christ. And as such, we represent his works. We represent his word. We represent the success of his efforts at the cross. Efforts, that sounds so weak. His purpose on the cross. And so when they betray you, when they throw you out, when they tell lies about you, they're doing it to God and to Christ by extension. That's a bold teaching. I couldn't say it unless it were true, unless it were in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5. We are ambassadors of Christ as of God entreating through us. Do you believe that? I do. God is entreating the world through us because we have the Word, we have the truth. Because for one thing, we read correctly translated Scripture. And we do not heap up for ourselves teachers in accord with our own desires. We're happily humbled. We're happily acquiescent to the fact that God is operating in us, that we have no freedom to operate apart from Him, and that our works contribute nothing to salvation, and that His righteousness is all we need, to reference a previous E.H. Clayton quote. Next quote, my life is not a blind leading, though it is a life of faith. It is an intelligent cooperation with the will of God as revealed in His Word. Wow, this one is loaded. Our lives are not a, I have to really think about this one. Our lives are not a blind leading. I think of the Christian saying of being led by Christ. It's as if, this is weird because the Christians believe in human free will, and yet they act like passive jellyfish that just flow with the tide, with the ebbs, with the flows, with the coming in of the tide, the going out of the tide. And they speak of things like empty your mind, open your mind, which are New Age thoughts. Don't do it. Don't empty your mind. Isn't that strange that the people who believe in free will go through life with this blind leading, yet we who understand that God is operating in us to will and to work for the sake of His delight, Philippians 2:13, we intelligently cooperate with the will of God. This is not to say that we freely cooperate. It's just that we're not fatalists. We're active. We're involved because of the bubble of ignorance. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the bubble of ignorance is the greatest gift that we have. It allows us this intelligent cooperation. I told you, we can go through life and make mistakes. We can produce an Ishmael. But that just sets up God to produce an Isaac. Wow, that really needs to be picked apart even more. But that's all I'm going to give it right now. Got to move on, just like Funky Town. Got to move on. In our own ability, we are unable to cope with any matter apart from God. Oh, take that, a free will people. Take that. Well, that's a shot to the bow, isn't it? Your battleship is sunk. Your battleship is sunk. In our own ability, we are unable to cope with any matter apart from God. And how dare you think that you can cope with a matter, any matter of life, let alone succeed. Let alone present it to God as if you're giving Him something that He doesn't have. Hey God, I have a gift for you. It's my wonderful works. It's my great act. That's not how it is. We're unable to cope with any matter. Oh, cope. Okay, let's go with that. Anytime you overcome something, anytime you rise above a problem, you can't do this apart from God. In fact, you can't do anything apart from God. In fact, in Him, we live and move and are. What God says is supremely right. This gives value to faith. Yeah, pretty evident, but I love that. What God says is supremely right. Why? Because he's God. Who would know better what is true than God? And he has graciously told us what these things are. It's called the Scripture. Miraculously preserved. Written by men who didn't know what they were writing because they were moved by the Spirit of God to convey to us in words that we can understand, following laws of language, God's thoughts. This gives value to faith. See, faith is an assurance concerning things which are not being observed, Hebrews 11:1. But just because they're not being observed doesn't mean they're not real. Doesn't mean they're not true, accurate. For instance, the death, entombment, and resurrection of Christ. We didn't see it. But it was recorded for us. So our faith is not based on nothing. It's based on a faithful recording of things that happen and of truths directly from the mind of God. What a privilege to have the mind of God in print. Are you kidding me? We have the mind of God in print? That's amazing. The notion of free will dethrones God. That is so true. That is so true. Takes God off the throne and puts humanity on the throne, where humanity likes to be. And again, the old, we just want a little bit of free will. Well, in the measure that you want some free will, be it a little or a lot, in that measure, you dethrone God. You tell God, well, God, for this little thing over here, I wouldn't mind being on the throne for this. Just, I have a creation to create that I want to give to you. So, if you please, Lord, just give me the throne here. That's what free will is. That's how ugly it is. It can be dressed up in beautiful language. It can be dressed up in, well, I just want a little. Oh, so you just want to dethrone God a little bit. Oh, that's great. Think about it. You want to dethrone God. No matter how little or how much you want to dethrone God, the notion of free will at all dethrones God. Thank you for that, E.H. Clayton. Emma finishes this email with gem after gem after gem. Then she says, hope these brighten your day. Well, that's exactly what they've done. Emma, thank you. They brighten my day even in the dark morning. The night goes on, ladies and gentlemen, but the morning comes. First the night, then the morning. First mortality, then immortality. First sin, then salvation. First death, then life. And we are walking just as this dawn is about to come. We are walking in the trailing edges of the night because it is about to give way to astounding immortal life.